Now it's Food Friday. Summer is a time of fresh fruits and veggies and a great time to eat seasonally. Seasonal eating may not only taste better, it could also be good for our health and the health of the planet. From farmers markets to foraging to gardening, there's a lot of ways to get great local produce. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite produce this time of year? Your favorite fruit or vegetable? Where do you get it? Farmers market? Forage? Your own backyard? What do you like to cook with? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Elena Terry is a chef and Ho-Chunk tribal member. She's the founder and executive director of Wild Bear Ease, a Wisconsin-based nonprofit she started to keep First Nation food traditions alive and to help community members who are dealing with trauma or addiction. Elena, welcome back to Central Time.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, I know I've talked to you in the past about seasonal foods, and I know you, like me, are pretty excited about them. Why do you enjoy seasonal cooking and eating so much?
I think here in Wisconsin, we have such a diverse amount of food that changes so significantly with the seasons that it's so nice to be able to get the bounty when it's the freshest as possible. And in summer, I mean, this is a great, very abundant time for us.
What right now is out there in Wisconsin that you're loving to work with?
We just are finishing up the last of the milkweed bud season, and that's for foraging. And that's a really big delicacy for us. And it's something that kind of marks the true beginning of summer when that season shifts. And of course, right now it's all of these fresh garden ingredients. Like, we started our gardens over a month ago. So now we're starting to see some of those fruits of our labor popping out, and it's really exciting.
Now, hang on. Milkweed buds are edible by humans? Because I'm a really good milkweed farmer. My strategy is to not pull it up when it grows because it's good for butterflies. I had no idea that these are edible, all of them?
Yeah, the milkweed is a really diverse plant, and the buds, when they're still green and tight before they start turning to the purple color, are edible. So we take the buds and the very immature leaves that surround those. And yeah, we've done everything with them, from tempura and frying them to putting them in our traditional soup.
Wow. Okay. Well, you've just blown my mind right off the bat there. What are some other things that people are surprised to learn that is, you know, maybe right in our backyard and edible?
I mean, there's so much in our backyards. One of the things that I like to show, especially the youth that we work with, are the red clovers. That it's one of those things that you see and you don't really process, that it has this incredibly sweet floral honey flavor to it. And so we like to mix that with, say, lemonade to give it a completely different twist and to add a little bit of a color to something. And it just, I think it brightens up your palate a little bit in identifying that there's those flavors out there in these incredible plants. You know, we also talk about dandelions a lot, but the incredible health benefits to those. And it's a plant that we walk past and we don't really see unless you're looking for it. I think right now, even the blueberries are coming out. And I mean, it's a very plentiful time for us.
Other berries are out there now too. I've talked to you in the past, I think, about service berries, aka June berries. They have a bunch of different names. I've been making simple syrup out of them, and I froze some for smoothies. What are some of your favorite berries that you like to work with this time of year?
Oh my gosh, every berry. We're the wild berries. No. First of all, I love hearing that you have made stuff out of them. You know, this year was the first year that I even tried making some lilac syrup, and it was incredible because then I used that syrup to make marshmallows and to put in, like, into a cake. So I think when you see these berries, that transition, when you're able to get out and pick them, you're able to really open up a plethora of different ways to utilize them, right? You don't just have to make a syrup. You could even add, if you were making the syrup, you could add that into your favorite cocktail or drink to really boost the flavor. And it's not just the berries themselves. A lot of the times you can harvest different flowers from them and use that to incorporate it into flavoring your food. So, I mean, we just got a ton of mulberries off the trees and we made that into jam. I think the biggest thing with those is that they are very seedy. So if you need to strain them a couple times, we do that just to alleviate some of the extra texture that might be in there. We're just now starting to see the berries come out on our blackberry bushes in the backyard. So I'm really excited for those to come. And like I said, the wild blueberries are incredible. If you are able to find a patch of wild blueberries, they're so much more condensed when it comes to sweetness and flavor. It's definitely something different from what you would be able to purchase off the store. Although buying blueberries at the store isn't always terrible either.
Now, for general foraging advice, for people who didn't grow up knowing what is edible and what isn't, what is your advice to make sure we're eating stuff that that is edible?
Yeah, of course. And there is a lot of like doppelgangers and tricky parallel plants. So you want to make sure that what you're foraging, you're aware that it is what you hope. There's a lot of apps out nowadays where you can for free identify plants. And then there's some where you can pay a little extra and they'll give you all of the information, like the Latin terminology of the plant, if it's toxic or what its multiple uses could be. So I always say, if you're not familiar with it, definitely we have the resources nowadays where it's like before I used to have my pocket, identifier book on me all the time. And now it's a little bit easier because I can just pull out my phone and see to confirm. And even with me, I do that just to make sure when I'm foraging that I'm getting the right thing, because the last thing we want to do is to take something that isn't meant for us to take, whether that's an edible food or plant or for medicinal purposes. However, if you do really want to get a little bit more in depth from what like a snapshot on an app could give you, I would say find the plant and then do a little bit deeper research. When it comes to milkweed, if you look it up, it says it's a toxic plant, and it is at different phases of the plant's lifespan, but every part of that plant is usable at some phase of its life, and it doesn't really say that on the internet. So I would say do a little deeper research if it's something that you've heard about, or, you know, just to confirm whether or not it is toxic, because some of those things might say eat it and it isn't edible, or it's based on the phase that it's at in its growth.
We're talking to Elena Terry, a chef and executive director and founder of the group Wild Berries. That's B-E-A-R-I-E-S, like Berries. It is Food Friday, and we're talking about eating with the seasons, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite food to forage in a Wisconsin summertime? Do you have a favorite crop that you like to eat this time of year? Something maybe popping up in your garden or at your local farmer's market? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Elena, we've been focusing on foraged food items so far. What are some of your favorite cultivated things that are popping up this time of year that you like to work with?
Oh, so we have lavender that we cultivate, and those flowers right now are incredible. And this year we've been focusing on pole beans. So they are really climbing and stretching out, but we haven't seen any of those come yet. We have planted a lot of different squash, and although we haven't seen the fruits appear, we have been able to harvest the male squash blossoms and use those, which is an incredible vessel for any kind of, like, it's so versatile. We really like to stuff it with cheese and then like roll it in some blue cornmeal and deep fry that. And it's this incredible crispy texture with a creamy inside. I mean, you know, in Wisconsin, I love cheese and I like to stuff it into stuff. Those squash blossoms are, if you have access to them, I would definitely say to try it, because it's very unique when it comes to texture and flavor, and it's really hearty, but it's also very delicate. So that's one of my favorite things to get out of the garden now too, is are harvesting those things that help us be responsible with the plants as well.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Matthew is with us in Blue Mounds. Matthew, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. A couple of things that I've been doing for years is the harvesting of the wild mushrooms, the chanterelles, the hen in the woods. Now the oyster mushrooms are still pretty prevalent, and then the chicken in the woods. And they're just out there ready to be taken and, you know, put in your culinary ideas.
And Matthew, what do you like to do with them cooking-wise?
Well, we just discovered a new thing with the oyster mushrooms. We actually just leave the caps and we do them on a sheet pan with oil and we crisp them up and they're almost like potato chips.
Oh, wow. Oven roasted mushroom chips. I love it, Matthew. Thanks a lot. Elena, your thoughts on mushrooms?
Oh my gosh. I love that, Matthew. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, mushrooms are incredible. And he lives in the perfect spot to go foraging for them. They are a little tricky. So it's something that you want to be able to make sure that you're identifying correctly.
Right.
And sometimes they say a cross cut will help you do that if you slice them open. But once you find what you're looking for, like mushrooms add this incredible depth of flavor to anything you put them in. Sometimes they can be a little bit overpowering. So you have to like that flavor or get a little bit more accustomed to it. But when you add them, I mean, they're not just flavor. You can change the texture of a dish. I mean, they're incredible. I love hearing about people who are able to go into the woods and identify all the different kinds of mushrooms and find them. Those are my kinds of people.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Elena Terry, chef, founder and executive director of Wild Berries. Elena's with us to talk about cooking with the seasons, including foraging and some great things to try in the summer months. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite bit of produce available in Wisconsin this time of year? Whether it's a wild foraged or grown, let us know what you like to do with it, where you get it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Elena Terry, a chef, founder, and executive director of Wild Berries, a Wisconsin-based nonprofit. Elena is joining us to talk about the many benefits of eating with the seasons, talking about some great gardened and foraged foods we can eat here in Wisconsin this time of year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Elena, I want to follow up. I got the zucchini in the backyard. I got the flowers. I'd like to eat them, but I don't want to eat them if it's going to stop the zucchinis from growing. You mentioned the male blossoms. I don't know how to tell them apart.
Well, the males have a pistil inside. So they definitely look a little bit different, and you want to keep the female ones to get pollinated and those will turn into the fruit. So if they have like the really long stem inside, those are the male ones.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Andrea is with us in Shorewood. Andrea, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
So in my garden, I love the early harvest. So if I have like young spring spinach and beet greens, if I grow too many beets, but I love my foraging is, and I only pick it out of the garden, is actually a weed, but in my mind, it's highly edible and delicious. It's called purslane, and it has a lemony citrus flavor to it. I only pick it early in the season when it is, before it's gone to seed or anything, but when my young greens are coming up. To saute it in a pan is just this, it adds this vibrant lemony citrusy flavor, and it's kind of looks like a little bit of a succulent, but you can't mistake it for anything, and it's never poisonous.
Andrea, thanks a lot for sharing that. I have a purslane story. I had a patch in my yard. I was going to try to grow grass in it, and this weed took it over, and I was yanking it, and a woman in the neighborhood came by. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing all that away? And she told me it was purslane, and I told her she could take all of it she wanted to. Elena, have you worked with purslane?
Yes, and it's a great ingredient, and it is pretty prolific in gardens. So if you have access to it, like it does have a very unique taste and flavor, and it does offer some brightness. I was going to say also, you know, an incredible way to appreciate your early greens and the freshness of the beginning of this season is to make a salad. I mean, I know it sounds really basic, but you can transform the flavors of a salad so significantly with what you choose to put in there and how you choose to dress it. And when you were talking about making simple syrup, that's a great way to infuse flavor into a very easy vinaigrette. So I definitely appreciate being able to do that and load up whatever's fresh and harvestable on that day into those salads.
Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Andrea, at 800-642-1234. Brian joins us now in Kenosha. Brian, hi.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about, Brian?
Oh, I want to talk about how much I'm looking forward to harvesting the wild black caps that are going to be coming up in the area shortly. So that's I think it's either an invasive or a native black raspberry that's growing in our area.
Okay, and then what do you do? I mean, obviously you could just eat them, but what do you do with all of them?
Well, either freeze them to preserve them throughout the rest of the season, or I'll make a big batch of jam and can that up. There's a bunch of different things that you could do with them. I make a really nice black raspberry salad dressing out of them. Ooh. But that's just one of my all-time favorite fruits that grows wild in this area. But there's also, we just passed the wild asparagus season, and that's one of my all-time favorite moments. Like right around Mother's Day in this area is when it popped up in all the bike trails and drain ditches by fields.
Wow. Brian, thanks a lot. So, Alina, those black cap raspberries he's picking.
Oh my gosh, those are absolutely delicious. I mean, just saying black cap raspberry, it reminds me of being a kid and finding these wild bushes when we were out swimming or something. And it was like the mother load. They're really sweet and very condensed flavor. I think the best way to honor it is to add a little bit of that acid again, like a little bit of fresh lemon juice as well. I think sometimes when I've frozen them, they've gotten a little bit mustier flavor, like they deepen in their flavor. So that might be something to look out for. But I think when it comes to those, I barely get them to the freezer because they're so delicious. We'll just leave a bowl of them on the counter and my kids will eat them throughout the day.
Brian, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Elena Terry on Food Friday. Elena, what are you looking forward to now in the next couple months? Let's advance the clock a little bit. What are you watching for to pop up?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I love the corn season when fresh corn starts coming and showing up in different forms. If it is a colored corn or the sweet corn, I mean, it's just something that really comes out is summertime for me when the corn starts to be, you know, taller and plentiful. And of course, I love the squash. I know that we had mentioned beets before, and I really think beets are an underappreciated, just like golden egg that grows. You know, they're so good for you and they're very versatile. And at first I was a little intimidated by the earthy flavor of that, but I think roasting a beet with a little bit of orange juice and olive oil is incredible. They're almost like little sugar cubes of a very unique flavor. And you can eat the greens on those and saute them, which kind of brings me to this very prolific space of like collard greens and the incredible greens that come out. And they are so plentiful in the summer. You can complement those greens on any level with your fresh herbs and making sure that you are able to honor that. I mean, the other day we had some early potatoes with just fresh dill and it was an incredible bite. I made it again the next day. It was so good. So I think just being able to be open, and I myself love finding new foods and trying them out and seeing what people are growing. So being able to go to the farmer's market or to be in community like that, where people have really put something, an investment into cultivating these foods, I think those foods just have a brighter flavor and a bigger appreciation in your household when you are able to use them. So definitely, it's a very plentiful time of year, and there's a lot of diversity in our communities with what's provided. I mean, I just can't wait to see what people come up with.
Now, with corn, I got to say, I love fresh corn. I've never been really creative with it in the past. Boil it and eat it, or grill it and eat it. But lately I've started, you know, maybe roasting it and using it for a Mexican street corn, or, you know, just getting creative ways to get different flavors out of it. What is your favorite thing to do with the fresh corn?
Well, when you talk about flavor diversification or using it a little bit differently, you can grate a fresh ear of corn and it gets that corn milky, incredible. Like if you had a creamed corn, you can add that to anything. Like I use that for bread. I use that and strain it to add flavor to stock, which you can also take like your corn cob and add that to a soup stock. And it is just incredible when you include that part of the corn in, which I think a lot of people discard. I used to discard it until I found out how flavorful it was when you added it to another dish.
I'm grating the actual cob into my soup. I want to make sure I'm hearing you right. The cob itself.
Yes, yeah. Wow. The cob. It try it and then we'll talk again. Because it's transformative. It really is a different depth of flavor and it contributes so much to the end result. I think just being able to open your mind and be willing to try different techniques with it is incredible. I mean, the corn fritter, the hush puppy, there's so much that we can talk about corn. What are you doing next week?
Let's have you back when corn is really in season. That sounds awesome.
I would love to talk corn with you.
I'm in. We'll get it on the calendar. Elena, thanks again for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
That's Elena Terry, a chef, Ho-Chunk tribal member, and founder and executive director of the group Wild Berries, a nonprofit here in Wisconsin. She started in part to help keep First Nation food traditions alive. She joined us to talk about seasonal eating, what produce you can expect to find in Wisconsin this time of year and the weeks to come, grown and foraged as well. Keep sharing your favorites over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.